What we say matters. We've each felt the power that words have to heal, soothe, or uplift us. Even one caring remark can make the difference between giving up and finding the strength to face life's challenges. We each also know something of the great harm that can be inflicted through speech. Sharp words laced with anger or cruelty can break a relationship and burn for years. Language can be used to manipulate and coerce on a mass scale, to fuel fear, war, and oppression, and to advance political agendas of genocide or terror. Few things so powerful are also so commonplace. Words are woven into the fabric of our lives. Your first love, your first job, your last goodbye to someone you love. Our beginnings and endings, and the countless moments in between, are punctuated by a play of words as we share our thoughts, feelings, and desires. My parents tell me that I was a gregarious child. E-A-T-O-R-E-N, they would spell out at meals, trying to redirect the stream of questions that bubbled from my small body as they reminded me to eat. My fascination with words began at an early age. I still recall the thrill of discovering the meaning of simple compound words, such as seaweed or sunset, that moment of realization when abstract sounds were suddenly transformed into their more familiar parts. Words are a kind of magic. To be alive and self-aware on this remarkable planet with its forests and lakes, its oceans and mountains, in this vast universe with billions of galaxies, is mysterious enough. What a marvel to be able to look into each other's eyes for an instant and form words that tell something of our lives. The creation myths of many cultures and religions through time, East, West, and Indigenous, recognize the generative power of words, giving the potency of speech a key role in the beginning of the cosmos. Indeed, words have the power to shape our reality. As we think, so we perceive. As we perceive, so we act. Moreover, the teachings of all world religions reflect a universal understanding about the ethical implications of language, its potential for good or harm, and include moral guidelines around the appropriate use of speech. My childhood fascination with language crystallized into a firm commitment to understand how to use words wisely when I attended a meditation retreat with the Vietnamese Zen master, poet, and peace activist Thich Nhat Hanh. His modern rendering of the Buddha's guidelines on right speech struck a chord deep within, motivating me to learn as much as I could about communication. It still inspires me today. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to others, I am committed to cultivating loving speech and deep listening in order to bring joy and happiness to others and relieve others of suffering. Knowing that words can create happiness or suffering, I am determined to learn to speak truthfully with words that inspire self-confidence, joy, and hope. I will not spread news that I do not know to be certain, and will not criticize or condemn things of which I am not sure. I will refrain from uttering words that can cause division or discord, or words that can cause the family or the community to break. I am determined to make all efforts to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, however small. What we say matters. Perhaps now more than ever. We live in times of great change in which much is being asked of us. We live at a time when we are less and less able to listen and really hear one another in society, at a time when those with different views, beliefs, or backgrounds are, once again, so easily cast as the other. At this time, when great forces of political, social, economic and environmental change are sweeping the globe and intensifying our separation from self, others, and life, we need to learn how to speak and listen in a new way. We need to learn how to re-perceive our world with fresh eyes, beyond inherited historical and economic structures of competition and separation that can so easily determine our relationships. True dialogue is more than the mere exchange of ideas. It's a transformative process based on trust and mutual respect, in which we come to see another in new and more accurate ways. As theologian David Lockheed explains, it is a way of knowing truth that neither party possesses prior to the dialogue. It is heartbreaking to know the good of which we are capable, yet to see so much destruction and violence. In Japan, there is a saying, "The cherry blossoms are beautiful because they are fleeting." We each have an opportunity to use the time and energy we are given with integrity. My hope is that this book might, in some small way, help us begin to realize our potential for good as human beings by learning to bring more compassion, wisdom, and kindness to how we navigate the relationships that make up our everyday lives. I hope that it might help us to transform the mechanisms of thought and perception that make violence seem like a viable strategy, that it be one step in creating a world that works for all.